You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello, welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary.
Devin, you had some revisions to make for our last episode.
Yes, when I say I want to make an apology slash a correction, many of you might be thinking, is she going to correct herself for calling the iconic film Tangerine Clementine? Not once, but multiple times. I mean, I do apologize for that, but that's not why I'm here. The reason I'm here is because it was at least an oversight, at most an unforgivable sin, that I didn't include Rihanna and ASAP Rocky in my favorite storylines, love stories, relationships, because they worked together, they met as creative minds, and then they fell in love with each other. They're two of the most beautiful human beings on planet Earth. They seem very comfortable together, and we all saw their, was it a Fenty crossover ad that she did with him? And it was like, everyone was like, oh my God, I wish this was really a couple. And then it was, and I should have said that. I should have also said Channing and Zoe Kravitz. There's a lot. Like, what am I doing?
What are you doing? Your best, actually. How has your week been otherwise?
My week's been interesting. Obviously, I'm trying to be festive, so I went to see House of Gucci.
Famously a Christmas movie.
I made the correct move, which was to listen to Las Culturistas episode reviewing House of Gucci and then seeing the movie, and every single thing they said was right. It was Leto was committing a crime of humanity in his performance by how bad it was, and then everyone else was perfect. My love for Gaga, it only grows. It never fades. She's so talented. She's so hot. She has such charisma. She holds her fucking own with Al Pacino. Like, I couldn't get enough of her and Al Pacino. We have so many hot, 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 painfully hot moments between Adam Driver and Gaga. Their chemistry, I didn't know what to expect, because the photos, he looked so stiff and she looked like so hot and like charismatic, but it just fucking works. Like, I don't know. The movie to me,
I have an intuitive feeling that they fell in love like Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga did.
I had an intuitive feeling that, like, how could anyone not fall in love with her? Like, that's how I felt. I was like, how could you not fall in love or be obsessed? And the music was amazing. It was one of those things where it's like, my roommate and I went to go see it, and when we saw Bohemian Rhapsody, we walked out of the theater and we said, okay, like, no one else, like, we liked that movie, but no one else is going to like it. Then it
I'm
went on to
you
win.
Liked it. Continue.
Well, I just was like, it was like a fun ride, and it's like the looks and the pizzazz of it all. Then I went to work and I said, oh, Bohemian Rhapsody is actually pretty good. And someone said, did you like Love Actually? And I was like, yeah. And the person was like, oh, okay, so you like that type of movie. Like, I don't think I would like that. And I was like, okay, who am I? But that's how I felt leaving House of Gucci, where I was like, I feel like many people in the theater may have thought that was bad as a whole, But I took it for what it was. You just have to like be along for the ride. Like people who are like, oh, like Quiet Place 2 didn't make any sense. Like, why did that? I'm like, I was along for the ride. They're stuck in silence. They happen to find a boat. Everything's fine. Like, okay, that's what happened. I'm along for the ride. So definitely was along the ride for Gucci. And I strongly recommend, just for the looks, the music, the hotness, it's worth it.
There were some pap pictures of Adam Driver and Lady Gaga on set. And for someone who seems extremely uncomfortable in his own skin, he famously hates watching himself in movies. He just doesn't. He walked out of an interview once because even though he was protesting, they were playing a clip of him to himself. And he was obviously in these pictures so charmed by her. In one, she's holding up a croissant for him and he's taking a bite out of it.
I can't.
I was like,
I can't.
I can't.
Speaking of content recommended by Las Culturistas, I also began a journey this week. So many people know I'm a huge member of the reality TV community. The thing is, I have strictly kept my interests to Housewives or romance, like only Housewives or romance. I watch like some Bachelor franchises, Fuckboy Island, all that stuff. And then I watch whatever Bravo puts out that's not Housewives, because usually it's like based around a romance. It's like Catherine and Thomas on Southern Charm, Winter House, obviously there's Sierra and Austin. Like, I have to be following a romance storyline. Never got into the competition shows, like never was into whatever Top Chef and stuff. But everybody loves Survivor. I thought, this is an iconic piece of television history. I have to understand this part of the world. So I started trying to watch the current season of Survivor, and I literally was like, I actually don't know what's happening. Like, I was like, I need to go back to season one. Like, they're talking about idols. They're talking about immunities. I had no idea what any of that meant. So I decided to go back to season one. And I will say, it's not what I'm used to, in that it's very soothing. I'm used to like, okay, soothe. I can go on my phone and then like raging, screaming women at a dinner table and I have to like key in. Survivor, I don't find myself needing to key in, because, I mean, yes, the challenges are life or death, and I should probably be more attuned to like what's gonna, it's like this girl has like some kind of flesh eating bacteria on her leg. Maybe those are things that would normally alert a person. To me, it's like, oh, this is nice while I'm cooking. This is nice while I'm like doing my own thing to have on. And my biggest concern is I'm really falling for some of these people and I'm scared.
You sound like a Bachelorette contestant. Continue.
I'm falling for some of them, and I think my husband might be on Borneo on one of the beaches eating rat flesh. But that's another question I have, by the way. Why didn't anyone ask each other how to spell their names? Because they all, like, every episode they go at the end and they vote and they show, they like write down the name and show it. They all spell each other's names differently. They'll be like, sorry, I don't know how to spell your name. It's like, you have no one else to talk to for a month straight on an island. You didn't just ask Jervis, how do you spell your name? But I'm falling for people like Sean, who's like the nice guy, and they all want to vote him off because they literally think he's like too stupid to play the game, because he's like, oh, I don't want anyone to feel bad. Like, oh, sorry, guys. Like, he wins, like, they get, like, prizes where they get to, like, leave the island. So he got to go stay overnight on a yacht. And he was like, sorry, guys. Like, sorry that you can't come, which strong relate. So obviously I'm like, okay, I love him. But my biggest thing is, what if he's a Trump supporter now? Like, I want to know where everyone is. Obviously, this looks like it was the early 2000s, 90s sometime. And I want to
I remember the first season. I was living in New York as a kid, so it must have been the early 2000s.
Okay, so it was so long ago, and I want to look up where are they now, but I'm terrified that where they are now might be supporting the anti-vax movement or
the
President
Capitol.
Trump. Yeah.
It's always a gamble.
Like, is Sue a Republican? Like, I just, it's hard.
It's hard.
Sue! I love Sue. I love Sean. Like, I just don't want to know the truth. And like, I did a brief Google and it was like Richard's imprisonments. I was like, imprisonments? Like, ah. So I'm scared for that. But I recommend it as like a fun thing to have on while you're eating. So that was my journey this week. What about you?
I had an interesting event this week. Living in Los Angeles, I really don't get catcalled that much. And I didn't get catcalled that much in New York either. I mean, as frequently as any average woman walking down the streets would. But I was at work the other day. I was helping out on a commercial shoot. And I'm really good friends with the director. So we went to go eat lunch together when we broke for lunch. And we couldn't figure out where everyone was sitting to eat lunch. So the whole crew was lined up at the catering truck, grabbing some food. We grabbed some food and then decided to sit nearby at the curb. I was wearing a long dress, not a short dress or even midi dress, a long dress. But when I sit down on a curb, my knees go up because I have really long legs. I'm really tall. So the director and I are sitting there and I'm at work. I want that to be repeated because it is an example of why the next thing that happened was so frustrating. I'm good friends with the director, not great friends. We only know each other through work. So then a guy on a bike drives by, stops in front of me and the entire crew and me and the director and goes, "I can see your panties." Points to me. I go, in my cold, numb shock, I go, "Thank you." And he goes, "No, really, I can see them." And I go, "Thank you. I know. Like moving my like tall lumberjack legs together, trying to like hide my huge red boy briefs that I wear. And it was so awful because the kind director was like doing his best to ignore it for my sake, which was very sweet of him. But it took everything in my power to just act normal. And it was such a reminder. I was like, being a woman in like a professional place with a female body is sucks. It's so awful.
It's really horrifying. And it's like, there's so many reasons why I think men are far, like why the wage gap exists and all this stuff. But it's like sometimes I'm like, oh, they just have so much more time, men, to like think about their career and focus on that because they don't have to think about what they look like and all this stuff. And also like they don't have just an automatic trauma, like an automatic like shaming, like you just automatically are a being that is shamed because you're born a woman. So you just will experience like humiliation and shame. And I haven't met every woman on earth, but it's like it just would never occur to most women to do something like that. Just like it would never occur to most women to like insert their opinion no matter what on everything.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, the most egregious catcalls I've experienced have an air of humiliation tinged in them where it's not at all about coming on to you. It's about isolating you in a crowd or on the street.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't leave the house that much as you and anyone who knows me can attest. So I was like, this stings.
Yeah.
And just like the groundhog, I might be in for 6 more months of winter.
Oh, no. Don't let it keep you.
I'm just kidding.
Don't give it the power over you.
I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about how, like, with my injured hand and just myself, like, I just feel so much vulnerable than I ever have in my life going out in the world. And I feel like I've changed so much since my accident 3 years ago, being that like I'm just not as socially comfortable as I used to be. And that was just like such a brutal moment. And I felt it like 10 times more.
Yeah. You already have this trauma and then everything that happens is compounding and compounding. And like,
yeah, I'm usually on edge anyway, just being out in the world. But that's OK. I feel like even just recognizing it. Gabrielle Union, now famously my mentor, after reading her book, We're Gonna Need More Wine, which is one of my favorite books I've read this year. She does say that after she revealed that she had miscarriages, she was talking to a interviewer who said, "What has this taught you about resilience?" And she said, "I think there's a difference between resilience and not being emotionally engaged with yourself."
Yeah.
And that really helps me. Like, oh, I think I'm resilient sometimes just because I like just put this out of sight, out of mind. Like I'm just gonna barrel through as if nothing's wrong.
Right.
And like, that's not necessarily resilience as much as it's just like being shut down.
Right.
So how do I survive without completely shutting down any emotion and still trying to like remain vulnerable?
Right.
So I'll just have to finish Gabrielle Union's book to learn how to do that. Besides that, I will say something that has been cheering me up is The Sex Lives of College Girls on HBO Max. Listen, it's not Girls with Hannah Horvath, aka Lena Dunham. And I think that's a good thing. Like, I need jokes. I need rom-coms. I need meet cutes. I need something that's substantive but fluffy too. And if you're looking for that, I recommend Sex Life of College Girls. It was like watching it, I was like, please no one get assaulted in the first episode. Please no one get assaulted in the first episode. And when nobody did, I was like, thank God. Okay, I can watch this.
The choice is yours, listeners. Do you want something fluffy or do you want real people marooned on an island fighting for their lives, skinning rats?
Enough with the rats.
They eat rats. I don't know what to tell you. They eat rats and stingrays.
I know, stingrays. It's so gross.
Oh, I'm like, has anyone tested this hypothesis that you can eat a stingray? Like, are they going to be okay? But again, I don't know because I can't look it up.
So speaking of eating weird stuff, I just started this book called The Dirty Life. It's a memoir of farming, food, and love. And it's kind of like a lot of girls' fantasies, except it's a true story. It's about this woman, Kristen Kimball, who lived in a studio in the East Village, was very cool, kind of punk rock journalist. And then she went to interview a farmer who lived basically off the grid in Pennsylvania and had this 50-acre farm, and people worked for him just tilling vegetables and making their own meat, etc. She goes to interview him. Basically, long story short, then there's a small mutual attraction. And then he asks her if she wants to go to a resort with him where he has like a free coupon or something. My favorite part about this is because I identified with it so much was that when he invites her, she's like, I knew, you know, the subtext, and I knew that there was a chance he was going to make a pass at me. But I decided I can take care of myself. I brought my lamest underwear and I didn't shave my legs. And then basically she says, you know, I got a second martini, which led to the historically accurate fact that despite my best intentions, I was the one who made the pass at him. Which, aww, I'm like, isn't that how it goes? Like, you're like, okay, I don't want any, like, obviously there's something going on here and I'm not going to pursue it. I'm just going to let it play out. Cut to you, like, two drinks in, being like, do you like me or what? Because yeah, I don't have that much time.
Yeah, I relate to
so,
that.
So Mark, this farmer, is super, he's like one of those Adam and Eve men. Like, he loves his farm. He doesn't go out a lot. He just like farms all day long.
Sorry, just quick question. In what way is that an Adam and Eve man? And where does that term come from?
I don't know. I don't know. And I made it up. Okay, take that out, Brian. It's too embarrassing.
No, it's funny. It's funny that you thought that was a good idea. Everybody could laugh at it.
Okay, so she says, I just wanted to read this one paragraph because a lot of times I fantasize about like going off the grid. I know Devin and I want both like 10 dogs and to adopt all the dogs in the world and have horses and all these animals and live on farms someday. And this girl really does it. She moves from the East Village. She goes and she lives on like a 500-acre farm with this guy. But before that, the first night they spent together, she writes, that night was the beginning of a profound and delightful education about lifestyle choices. Mark, I discovered, had never smoked or gotten drunk. He'd never tried drugs or slept around. He'd eaten wholesome and mostly organic food, and he spent most days of his adult life doing some kind of arduous physical exercise. He was the healthiest creature I'd ever laid eyes on. Some people wish for world peace or an end to homelessness. I wish every woman could have, as a lover, at some point in her life, a man who never smoked or drank too much or became jaded from kissing too many girls or looking at porn. Someone with the gracious muscles that come from honest work and not from the gym. Someone unashamed of the animal side of human nature. Devin, you're frowning.
I just don't like that. Like, I just feel like he's pretentious and she's pretentious.
No,
like,
no.
Just because guys like watch them. Porn, they're not like pure anymore. Like, what?
I guess she just means like, okay, this is where I'll go back to my Adam and Eve.
Also,
metaphor
I'm like,
that you
who is
like.
This person? Like, where is this nice coming from?
Farmer.
Carolina. Okay. First of all, we go through, before we recorded, we went through all the things we were going to talk about. This was not mentioned. And then she's
like,
by the way, I just wanted to mention, like, I've been reading about farming. I'm like, okay, hold on to my fucking tights here, because there was a time when Carolina carried around a book about veganism and would like talk about it. And she would also order bacon at the same time.
I was like, is this
going to be another veganism thing? Like, what? And then now you're saying this girl who's like a punk rock reporter, like, moves to the farm. And then I'm just like, was she punk rock? Is she like, was she a reporter? Like, what are the credits here? Who is she? You know what I'm like? I'm like,
what?
Who is she to tell me what kind of lover I should have had and that they shouldn't have been head slept around?
It's her greatest wish.
Okay. Who is she to tell me that my lover shouldn't have slept around and should only be pure and never smoked or drank? Because I don't know her. I don't know what she's done. But even my own mother can't tell me that I can only sleep with men who haven't slept with other people. Like, what?
She's talking about someone who just lives their life with extreme intention. I've never done that. I don't think most people I know have done that. But it does. That's where I talk about it, Adam and Eve. And yes, Adam blamed Eve. And they had actually a lot of fucked up shit happened in that relationship.
Wait, are you pro Adam and Eve? Are you pro the Adam and Eve storyline? You know I have a tattoo just to talk about how fucked up the Adam and Eve storyline is. And yes, that's embarrassing for me. Don't care. But you're pro Adam and Eve?
I've made a huge mistake by bringing this book into the podcast
Adam and
today.
Eve is basically like, okay, women ruined everything, there you go. And Carolina's like, okay, so the reason why I love this story is because it reminds me of Adam and Eve, which was a beautiful couple where a man had never slept with any women before, but the woman was a total bitch and ate an apple that caused all of sin. But
never said
he
that.
All right, just tell me who this author is and what her credits are.
Kristen Kimball, as previously mentioned.
Credits, excuse please. Me? Please, please, please.
So why I was saying it was about eating someone gross is...
Someone gross?
I mean, sorry. Why I said...
I'm horrible.
Stop, you're making me
I'm
mad.
I'm horrible. I'm sorry. I'm triggered.
Why I said... Speaking of eating something gross is because the first night they do spend time together and she's covering him for this story, he slaughters a pig and she watches and they literally like scrape out the pig's innards. And I'm not vegan, but I don't eat milk or cheese or pork or beef, so I'm like kind of getting there. And so that part actually was really disgusting to me. But Kristen Kimball, oh my gosh.
All right, send me the link. I'm still not sure this isn't just like the IMDb description of a really bad Hallmark movie, but send me the link. I love to feed my resentments. I love to get angrier than I already am. And I'm pretty angry because I'm going to say, okay, so yes, I've slept with men who've smoked cigarettes, but they haven't taken the innards of an innocent animal out.
I know.
Christy?
It's funny because I do sometimes can read things and I can hear you or Beth's like voices in my ear commenting on it. And at one point her interview subject to be her husband soon.
The wingnut farmer,
Mark, he says like, I want to live on a farm. I want to just exchange goods with people. I want to wear clothes made of animal hide. And I just heard you be like, no.
I mean, my first boyfriend at one point was like, my dream is to be on a sailboat just like in the ocean in the middle of nowhere. And in that moment, I didn't even know what compatibility was, but I knew like this is never going to work. That's the total opposite of my dream. I don't want to be without anything. If I'm without Wi-Fi, havoc occurs. So for me, no. And also just like, is love real? Like, is anyone's relationship this good that they can write a book about how their love is so amazing and you should try it? Like, I don't know. I'm just mad.
Well, speaking of mad, we're going to take a quick break. And in light of the holiday season, we're going to talk about gifts and public displays of affection. We'll be right back.
I want you. Romance.
And we're back with True Romance. Devin just told me to not be mad. That was her direction for me. Devin, what is your take on PDA?
PDA is, I think, given the mood I'm in right now that some of you may have picked up on, if I saw a couple making out on the subway, I wouldn't take well to it. But if I'm in a good mood, if I'm in a mood of listening to Fearless, Taylor's version, and I see a couple making out, I would be like, you know what? I love love. And like, I'm so happy for you guys. For me, I don't have any need for it. I don't need to like hold hands. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't need to spoon. It's like I put comfort over everything. But the type of PDA that comes with like sexual chemistry, like when you're first start like hooking up with someone and you're like, I just fucking wish we were alone right now, is the best. And definitely something I can get high off of and definitely something I approve of. But it's not my number one love language. What about you?
Yeah, I was unfortunately someone who was heavily into PDA. In fact, one of our friends once told me that she just knew me at one point as the girl who made out on the streets in New York. I will say this. There have been times, there have been relationships when I was really young where I was kissing more than I was talking to the person I was with. And I kind of regret it in retrospect because I'm just, it's embarrassing to think about. Like, why didn't I just give it a rest?
I don't think it's embarrassing.
No, but it was all the time, Devin. Like, people would be talking. We would just be making out in a room.
Okay, now it's starting to sound like a bad SNL sketch with Fred Armisen dressed as a woman.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, I think it can get annoying, like, to a certain degree. But usually when I see people that are, like, really into each other, I like it. Like, I love a couple that's into each other.
Yeah, I do. I will say that like there's that nothing feels better than a new relationship that feels promising and feels good and like there's sexual chemistry involved. And some of the happiest moments of my life, like some of the happiest memories I have are like falling in love with someone and us not even being able to really keep our hands off each other, but not in like a creepy way, just in a way that's like, I like you so much.
So what are your thoughts on PDA in front of the significant other's family? Because I think that's probably what is on most people's minds given the holidays that are amongst us right now.
So my college boyfriend, I did PDA in front of my own family because I just like didn't care. And I was like, you guys don't even know. I can't believe I'm dating someone I like this much. And in retrospect, that horrifies me. I would never make anyone do that to me. I do like fighting with your partner in front of their family or your own. And I've had really funny fights, I think, in retrospect, where, for instance, I was spending Thanksgiving with a former boyfriend. And while his parents were driving us around, I was like, hey, your little friend back there, like a girl from his hometown. I was like, I didn't like the way she was looking at you. And he was like, really? Why are you sounding like that? That is the weirdest thing to say. But I just love that it was literally like we were siblings, like parents driving us around while we're arguing. So I'm really pro that behavior.
I love what the idea of thinking back and thinking that like I was hiding my being upset at my boyfriend in front of their families. But once I was in a fight with my boyfriend first because he acted like he was taking me on like a getaway weekend. He's like, we're going to the beach house. Like, it's going to be like a getaway weekend. It's going to be great. And then I hear from one of his friends that we were like hanging out in a group, they were like, oh, like the guys weekend, the boys weekend. And I was like putting two and two together. I was like, okay, so the dates they're describing are the dates that he told me were going on a beach getaway. And okay. And so I was like, wait, so is that like when they were saying boys weekend, they were saying like the weekend that we're going to the beach? And he's like, yeah, I mean, we're all going, like they're all going to be there. And then like, I'm going to do the NFL draft with them. But then like, we're also going to have our, and I was like, oh no. So it's like your like weekend to do NFL draft with your friends. And then I'm just there for no reason. And he's like, you can come.
Oh my God.
So it was hell. But so when he left to do the NFL draft thing, he left me at his like family's beach house, and perfectly nice, had a perfectly good relationship with his family. But it's like, okay, then there's the added layer where it's like, I'm fucking pissed at you. And I'm in this house with people whose only connection to me is that I'm with you and probably only want to talk to me about you. And so I literally did an SOS. Like, I reached out to my friend who lived over an hour away from this beach area, but like it was technically driving distance. And I was like, you have to just meet me at like a suburban strip mall restaurant because I have to have a reason to leave. Like, I have to be like,
oh, yeah,
I have a plan. Hey, I actually have a plan. So like, I would love to keep talking, but I have a plan. So I went and met up with my friend at like a weird suburban restaurant. And we just like sat in this dark restaurant for hours while I waited for this NFL draft to be over. But it was like that thing of like everyone in the family was like, wait, so like you're, oh, so you're going to leave with your friends? And then like, oh, Devin's just going to be here. And I was like, ah, like it's so uncomfortable that they can tell that I'm pissed at you. And even if they understand why, like I don't really want them to know that I'm pissed at you. So yeah, I have many memories of that.
Yeah, I remember once a boyfriend's mom when I was in college knowing that the boyfriend and I had been fighting, and she just hinted at something like, I think he was really upset about how it, he was really upset last night about how things were going. And I was so pissed at him because he had secretly written a letter to his ex-girlfriend while we were in bed together that I just looked at her with such disdain, like a 20-year-old girl should never have for like a woman in her 60s. But I was like, I can't. Like, no, what the fuck is wrong with him? I'm not going to sympathize with him because he was a baby.
Yeah.
So that's when I punched her in the face. Just kidding.
So that's what I did,
I was forced then
drop
to
kick the
beat
bitch.
Her up.
Drop kicked the bitch. No, it's horrible. I also like love though when you're at like a wedding or something, you can slowly witness another couple having like drama.
And you immediately need to know whose side to be on. Like, I need details.
I know.
I wish that I could just go up to them and be like, let's talk about it. Let break it down.
Because if you are a heterosexual woman in a heterosexual relationship, then you will never get the truth about your partner's friends because men are not like nuanced in that way. They didn't have to protect the tribe in primitive times. They didn't have to like intuit if people were trustworthy. So they don't look for those types of details. And so they'll be like, oh yeah, they were in a fight. Like, I don't know. I think, oh, okay, so they broke up, but I'm not sure why. Like, I didn't, and it's like, in what world did you not ask why they broke up? Like, the engagement's off. Why? I don't know. Like, I don't think, I didn't ask. In what world did you not ask? But I once was at a wedding where I could see this simmering.
Your love. Oh.
Thing where it was like, they're fighting. Every once in a while, they're leaving the dance floor to go, like, have, like, yes, a heated conversation. And I remember when we're leaving the wedding venue, I saw the girl and the couple just standing there with her arms crossed, like enraged. And she goes, he left me here. And I was like, what? And then I think, I don't remember if we gave her a ride or what, but like, it was like, oh shit, he fucking left her at the wedding. And it was his friends, not hers.
Hate.
Also, I am your ally in that moment. If someone's boyfriend fucks with them, even if it was Kristen Kimball and her wingnut farmer husband had fucked with her, I'd be like, Kristen, get in the car. We're going to Dairy Queen. We're getting a blizzard, Kristen. Okay? I know you eat raw foods, but you're going to like this and you're going to need this.
I think public displays of affection are really interesting when you compare them to gifts, just in terms of like public displays of telling someone you're with someone, your other. I mean, I remember suddenly understanding that I was supposed to put my significant other and me as the background on my phone. Like, okay, this is what you do to show people you're together. You hold hands at the party. You post pictures of them on their birthday. I mean, all of the stuff I love doing.
Or every 5 minutes, like I did the first time I was in a relationship.
Yeah, but that's female culture. I'm so interested in the type of guy who sends women flowers at their office without any prompt.
Okay, why? Because you're like, that's the best ever?
Kind of, yeah. I think that there's something nice about that. I mean, I know Scott does it to Tinsley on Real Housewives of New York, and that turns out
Coupon
to be...
Coupon King, yeah. Sorry, by the way, I'm on Caroline's last nerve. I keep like interrupting her after I've like roasted her.
No, you're not. You're not on my last nerve.
Sorry.
Don't fucking know when you're on my last nerve. Just kidding.
I just have to say that my dad is actually one of those men who sends random flowers. and which is so sweet. But like the amount of times that I, when I worked in an office, would have like flowers on my desk and people would be like, who's the special someone? And I was like, my dad. Ooh, someone has a crush on you. My dad. Ooh, someone loves you. My dad. Like I was like, oh my God. But he would just be like, oh, you had a bad day. Like then send flowers, which is really cute.
My dad would do that too. And it was the worst was that I was the person who was like, look like somebody like me. My dad. I would be like, wow, my ex wants to get back to their, never mind, the roses are from my dad. I was like, oh my God, you remember my birthday? My dad.
God damn it. Yeah, I think most men, unfortunately, will become Roy from The Office, who, if we all remember, there's the Valentine's Day episode where Phyllis gets like a million Valentine's Day presents from Bob Vance. Everyone else is getting their Valentine's gifts and Pam's just waiting and he doesn't even get her a card. And it's like, every guy.
The best is his line where he goes, why don't you come home and I will give you the best sex of your life.
And it's like, okay, honestly, yes, because I think Roy is so hot. But all straight men start out Bob Vance and then within 6 months they are Roy. Unless there are dads, apparently, which is weird.
I want true romance.
What have been your best gifts that you've received?
Okay, so one of my best gifts early on in a relationship was a goodie bag of everything that I liked. This person went to, where do you need to go to get everything Devin likes? A fucking CVS. And got me candy and cigarettes and like little dog stickers and like weird shit like that. And I woke up and I just was like, this person understands. They understand. They get me. But I've also received like a script of my favorite movie signed by the director.
That was a very thoughtful gift.
My favorite gifts have been like the thoughtful ones, like you just said, like, if you get something thoughtful that like actually deeply means something, it's worth so much more than Cartier. Okay.
Yeah. I'm really at the point where I like telling people what to get me in terms of like style of gift. And one thing that I'm very serious about is I need a card. I need a card that expresses.
Yeah.
Where you express your feelings towards me. I need it in writing. You know, much like a prenup that I will eventually ask for. I need it down on paper. And I think because I'm just looking for thoughtfulness, I'm just looking for recognition. And then, yeah, something personal. I really liked I got a fancy necklace once that was just very me. And I was also having the worst time and I like burst into tears when I got it. I think also I was so ready to cry because I saw I was in a jewelry box and it like I was performing female at that moment. Like I was performing the female version of getting a piece of jewelry and I just wet my face, like bawled my face off.
It's hard because it's a love language thing. Obviously, like I'm really good at gifts and the reason I'm good at them is because I put a lot of thought into something someone said weeks ago, months ago, like this is the thing I'm going to get because it is... I just have an ability to like find the perfect thing. I'm not bragging. That's just a fact about me. And if you ask anyone who knows me, they'll tell you that.
What are some of the best gifts that you've given?
Well, I was going to say, because of this feature about me, it makes it hard to be in a relationship with me because most things I'm like, really? This is what you got when I got you all this fucking shit? I don't know. Because now I am like flashing back the time I got someone a shirt for Christmas, a boyfriend. And then the next day I saw it on the trash pile, literally on the trash pile in the street, like the trash had been taken out.
Wow, you guys, she's coming up short.
She doesn't because I'm thinking of all the things and I'm like, okay, this probably doesn't sound that good. But like at the time it was like, this is a really good gift. Like we took our first New Year's trip to this city. So then I got like I found like a painting of the city from like a vintage store and I like got it framed or... I made a video for a boyfriend once of like all his favorite people saying that they loved him and saying like
that's a good
message. Cameos, A lot of cameos. Lots and lots of cameos.
Devin did give me a cameo after I got out of surgery of Sonia Morgan. And Sonia could not. Sonia, if you're listening, you could have not looked less engaged.
She doesn't try. That's my second Sonia I've gotten. No, that's my third. The first Sonia cameo I got was fucking amazing for a friend of the pod, Sean Cullen. And it was like so good. Like she was like, ooh, Devin's your best friend. Like you're turning 30. Ooh, I wish I was. And oh, you're traveling the world. Oh, I've like that was the best years of my life traveling the world. Then I got one for my mom. It was fucking bland as shit. Then I get one for Carolina. And it's like she can't even get out of bed or like take her fucking reading light glasses off.
It was so she's like, oh, hi, you're friends with Devin. That's sweet. Okay, hi, feel better, honey. I was like, I could have gotten this from anyone, from a woman on the street.
One of my favorite things to do is like look at all the $5, $10 cameo people because they're all people you've never heard of, but they're like actually insane people and then get them. Like there's like some weird tarot card readers on there that you can get and they're like, I'm going to pull the card now. And it says, wow, thank you, universe. Like it's you can find some weird people on there. You can also find some really creepy men on there. But yeah, cameos are a pretty good investment, I would say. Okay, so what are the best gifts you've given and received?
Received was my fancy necklace, probably. I'm a good gift giver. I got my family pajamas this year. Really nice, comfortable pajamas are a great mid-range gift. You can go pretty comfortable without a high cost. And guess what? Everyone's going to use them.
That's true.
Gosh, I got my exes such nice stuff. I really, really, and it's not me bragging. It's me saying how bad my self-worth is that I'm like, I'll literally pay for you to just like stay in the room with me.
Yeah, I get that.
And I really think about it a lot. Like, I remember I got a boyfriend, Robert Crumb. He's this illustrator and he would do these album covers. And I got him a book of the album covers. And I just like sat on his table and he never touched it. I've also given hinting gifts before. I had an ex who didn't brush his teeth a lot. So I got him an electric toothbrush for his Valentine's Day.
The worst when you have to do that. You're like
here. And this is how you press
nail clippers. Oh, nail clippers.
So you don't even have to brush. You just move it around. I had an ex that was a pothead and to support that, I gave him a weed rolling kit that was really like bougie. My sister for her last birthday, I got her Italian cooking lessons. I'm going to be honest, the chef didn't show up that much, but, when they did, it was fun. And I recommend thoughtful gifts like that. I think, oh my gosh, Devin, do I have one for you too? Devin's birthday is coming up. Listeners, and it's my natural thoughtfulness that led me to realize what she needed. And I saw something and I thought, I have to get that for Devin. And I had a bookmark.
Oh my God.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't wait. And I truly can't wait. It's something I'm excited for in the coming year.
Okay, that I'm literally going to start crying right now because I can't believe how kind that is when I just roasted you so hard about your farming book.
I can't believe I brought and you should have seen me. I was like, wow, Devin thinks I don't prepare for this podcast. I brought my book all the way from my bedroom to my office area and I'm going to read a paragraph from it. Little do I know that I'm about to get executed.
No, it's just like nothing means more to me than to be thought of. And I have an online shopping addiction. So I'm constantly seeing things where I'm like, this is like a perfect gift for me. Is anybody looking? And then I don't end up getting it. But I will say, one dream gift I've always wanted to receive from a romantic partner and never have is plane tickets. Like you open it and it's plane tickets and they're like, we're going to Paris or something. Like I always think that that would be a dream because I have so much anxiety about traveling. So I never actually book the trip. Like I'm always like, never mind. It's not worth the money. Never mind. Like I'm too scared to go. And so if someone just was like, too bad, we're going, that would be amazing. I will say, the worst gift I received from a partner, besides a trip to Mohegan Sun Resort and Casino, where the person told me that's where we were going and I couldn't control myself from just saying no out loud. Absolutely not. But then I did end up going. The worst gift I've received. So I was in this relationship that was clearly fading, but I like didn't like fully leave it yet. And my coworker, who I am friends with, was like at the desk next to me. And he kind of, I think, could sense that's where the relationship was going. And I was like, I get this like package at work and it's like my birthday present. And I'm like, oh, it's my birthday present. And I start opening it at my desk. I pull out a solar clock. Okay.
I'm shaking my head.
A solar clock. I place it on the desk. My friend is trying not to laugh. I pull out a strange green, like, pencil case, it looked like. And I was like, oh, put it on the thing. Then it was like a wolf, like a tiny, like, wolf figurine, which is like, that is kind of my thing. But when I get the wolf figurine, I notice that it's all from like the MoMA design store. And I'm like, wait, so this person just was like on a fucking trip to the MoMA when like his family member was in town.
These are the worst gifts. Yes.
And I was like, oh, he just had to go to the gift shop because like his family was visiting. And then he just picked up these random objets. And I look at my friend and he just starts like burst out laughing. And I was like, it's just, it's done. Like, just no, it's done. It's done.
This is the thing. And it's, I really resented a gift once I received because it was a candle and lotion. And I knew that the store where my ex had got it from was very close to him. And I was like, wow, you literally thought I have to get her something by tonight.
Yep. Yep.
Meanwhile, I'm on Etsy being like, where can I find something cool and chic? And reaching out to my friends who are artists being like, will you make a special thing? Which is what I wanted to say. I mean, come on. If this podcast is coming out Thursday, you guys, we're cutting it close on gifts. But like Devin said, if the person is worth their salt, it's really just everyone wants to be thought of. Everyone wants to be recognized. And a card will do that. But I truly think from big or small, it's just about finding something that's creative and individual. And if you're sick, I've done some what I think are selfless, heroic acts when I don't know what to get someone or I feel like I need to donate to charity and I haven't been doing that enough. I will adopt an elephant from the Sheldrick Trust on behalf of someone and send them the adoption certificate. It's a fun thing to do. There is an organization called Mary's List here in Los Angeles that helps settle refugees, and you can buy them. They have gift registries at like Target or Amazon, and you can buy them gifts and write them cards. So for my dad's birthday 1 year, I, you know, bought a family a bunch of gifts and wrote like, "Welcome to America, love Toby Barlow." And I feel like it's a way of spreading, it's a way of, again, individualizing the gift and making someone feel a part of a big thing. And at the same time, feeling like you're doing something good yourself. I know this all makes me sound disgusting, like a saint.
No, I'm going to say, I totally agree with you. Respect what you're saying. If come my 30th birthday, the gift is a certificate of adopting an elephant, I will not be disappointed. I will not be.
Wait, I'm remembering that. I forget what gift. I think it was for your birthday 1 year. I got a toy for a girl on Mary's List and I texted it to you and you went, "What the fuck?"
And but you're like, then, I was happy. Guys, I was happy. I have a problem. And it is that I'm a birthday person. Like, I already have sent an email. My birthday's in February and I already have sent an email trying to organize my celebration. And one of my friends was like, "Okay, you're already sending an email. Like, you're quickly turning into a birthday month person." I was like, turning into? I've been a birthday month person since day fucking one. Day one. So I am that way, and it's really an unattractive quality, but I did
Devin
love...
Devin was a baby in the hospital, like, with all the nurses.
It's my
like,
birthday,
okay, all together now. Okay, line up.
I was like, wait, so Nurse Cheryl's not coming? Oh, okay. Nurse Cheryl's not
coming.
What's she doing? Okay. That's interesting. That's
interesting. Oh, my mom needs to rest up, so what is she getting me?
Where's my dollhouse? Where's my dollhouse? So I'm a piece of shit like that, but... yeah. And also, I'm sorry, maybe I'm just in an angry mood because of the farming lady, that the white lady and her wig,
what
farmer.
What did she do to you?
But it's just, there's no excuse. I know it's like people say, like, I'm not a big gifts person.
No excuse.
You know
no
who
excuse.
Those people are? They're mostly men. And you know what? You know what? It's enough. It's a fucking enough. You have to take time. All that time that you save not having to care for a bleeding wound that's just a natural part of your body every month. All that time that you save not having to be harassed while you're doing your job. All that time that you save not learning how to fucking paint your face in a way that distorts the way it looks so that it fits the beauty standard. Why don't you take that time And anytime someone in your life has an important event coming up, give 10 minutes of thought to something nice you can do for them. And it's not too fucking much to ask. And if it is, there's just no point. Like, really? If it's that hard for you, then you don't know how to connect with people. And I'm sorry, but you need to do better. Like, you absolutely need to do better. It's like Sean on Survivor. It's like, yes, you're a nice guy, but you're not forming any alliances. And you got kicked off because you absolutely needed to do better. You needed to do better. And you didn't.
It's true. And I think an interesting thing is that whenever a girl is disappointed, the reaction from some men is like, okay, are you serious? Like, you care about shit like this? And it's like, right. Oh, literal displays of affection. Yes, I do.
I got called ungrateful for saying that I didn't want to go to Mohegan Sun Resort and Casino. Okay. Ungrateful. Yes, correct. And meanwhile, I'm like, oh, here's your fucking painted picture of like the first city we had a good time in, because that's what I waste my time on. It's just really not that hard. And like, also, if the fucking thought is put in, but it's just like not exactly what you wanted, that's great. Like, if that guy got me that weird pencil case and solar calendar, but he really clearly spent so much time looking for something that he thought I would like.
That's honestly endearing. Like, oh, you got it so wrong, but like, you're really concerned about it.
Yes. But it's like picked up at the gift store. Babe, gift store is just automatic no. Just automatic no.
Anything that implies a rush, anything that applies last minute.
Unless it's a gold rush, as Taylor Swift says.
We hope that you guys get the gift you so deserve, which should be a rescue puppy.
The reason I want to be gifted a puppy is because then it's kind of like, oh, I don't know what to do. It's just happening. It's sort of like how I sometimes accidentally want to get pregnant, because then it'll be like, oh, sorry. I know my life's totally not set up.
Think about it.
Yeah, it's like my life is not set up for a dog. My building doesn't allow dogs. But like, if someone happened to just like give me a dog, I think I would just have to be like, OK, sorry, guys. Like, I have to change my whole life now because this is just what happened. So that's why I want someone to give me one. And I guess someone to accidentally impregnate me would be great too. And then here I am.
Think about the gifts you can give. And maybe that's accidentally impregnating someone. Just kidding. It's actually a rough time for that to happen in America right now.
I'm sorry for joking about that. It's just because the fucking Kristen Kimball's fucking words of wisdom.
Don't blame the rest of your life on her.
Triggered me. And now I'm in a state where I can't even remember that abortion rights are on the line. So thanks, Kristen.
We are going to leave Kristen alone. I regret bringing... I actually am going to let the readers know what I think of the rest of The Dirty Life. And so we'll continue this conversation.
Oh my God, I forgot it was called The Dirty Life. Okay.
We'll catch you next time. I love you, Devin.
Love you.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true. True romance, it's so romantic. Love me, baby, don't.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.